Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Welcome, Lisa Frustuck, Director and Speech Pathologist Extraordinaire at Shine Early Intervention. How are you?
Good, thanks, Kathy. And yourself?
Yeah, really good. I'm watching a sunset, so that always makes me happy as the day kind of closes out. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of your business adventure to date. And we're also going to be talking about what's happening in the future as well. Cast your mind back for a moment. Where did private practice start for you?
It was about 5 years ago. I used to work for a not-for-profit organisation in the Campbelltown area for about 15 years.
Sydney, New South Wales?
That's it. And kind of got, you know, fed up with the change of management and felt that the perks of working for the not-for-profit were no longer there, and decided to move on and just onward and upward from there. So that's how it started.
And has it been what you thought it would be?
I think it's bigger than Ben-Hur now.
Yeah, it is.
It's not what I started with, but I guess I'm an ideas person. I always have an idea, so I've gone with that.
Share a little bit about what the first 5 years have been like.
A roller coaster. We first started out, it was just myself and Christine, our occupational therapist. We'd worked together for the 15 years previously. And I just basically quit my job and started. And then Christine, a few months later, decided to quit her job. So I asked her to join me, and we were mobile for about 18 months or so. And I built our first facility, which was basically a house in the Campbelltown area, and we converted it into therapy rooms. And at the time it was a big commitment, and I was, you know, worried it wasn't going to work out as I'd hoped, but
all those empty rooms
exceeded all expectations.
Wow, amazing. So who's in your team at the moment? You don't have to name them, but you've got a bit of a crew going on.
We've got about 12 staff at the moment in terms of therapists. We've got occupational therapists, speech pathologists, music therapist. We now have a practice manager, admin staff, and so on. And a therapy assistant.
A lot of hearts and minds to manage. How do you go on the management front?
They're a very easy crew to manage.
Do they manage you, maybe?
No one can manage me, Kathy.
No, yeah, I probably agree with that.
I cannot be managed. No, they're a really lovely bunch of people, mostly women. We have had one male, and we've just employed another male. So we would like to diversify a little bit, and we're working on that. But a really fantastic bunch of people that I work with, very experienced, just great people, and they all get along. And I must say, I haven't had to do any refereeing, and, you know, they manage themselves really professionally. In terms of their client work and can work independently, but as part of a team as well. So, you know, I'm really, really blessed.
But as a manager and business owner, you've done things to make that happen. What do you think they are?
I guess I support them in letting them to have that freedom to work independently, to go forward with their ideas and support them in that process. But I think that, you know, I think we just, I don't know. There's not a magic answer to that. I think we're just very
lucky.
Maybe
the answer is magic.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is just magic.
I don't have the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one to think about. What is it that you and your beautiful team do incredibly well?
I think the thing that we do differently than most other places is that our families come into our centre and they feel welcome and they feel home when they come. They've, you know, just the genuine way that our staff treat our clients, they're all willing to go that little bit extra. And I think the environment that we're in, it's the Shine House is what it's known as. All the kids call it the Shine House and are excited to come in. It's a very, very welcoming environment and it's a very welcoming team. And I think people come in, they feel a part of the Shine community.
Yeah, that's nice. That's why I'm just such a solid fan of small, medium neighbourhood businesses that really have great connections locally. That's something that the larger organisations just can't get their mitts on. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And most of our staff are actually local.
Oh, wow.
So they're part of the wider community. We do have instances where staff know clients. So we'll have to switch around. But, you know, a bit of conflicts of interest there when they're referred. But, you know, we can work through that. And, yeah, I think most of our staff are part of the local community. And I think that makes a big difference too. They understand the people that we're working with.
Yeah. Yeah, it would do. It would do. I'm having flashbacks to kind of having to hide in the supermarket as, you know, there would be several clients kind of doing their shopping at the same point. And it was always such a mixed blessing.
I don't live in the local area.
Oh, so you're the outsider.
But I've worked there for 20 plus years. Yeah, so
that counts. Yeah. That counts.
So I very rarely run into anyone. So, but yeah, some of the girls, most of them don't mind. We've got a lot of really great families. So most of them are fairly respectful if they're out and about.
Yeah, yeah. So being part of the neighbourhood, how do you guys kind of message what you do and market and message and communicate all the amazing work you do?
Facebook.
Great on Facebook.
I don't know. I just tend to find things. So I haven't. I know you told me to do a weekly appointment with myself.
Is this true confession?
Social media. It is confession time. But it's usually I'll be trolling through something in bed on my phone and find something that I like and post it.
That wasn't quite the confession I was anticipating, but I can't see how we'll edit that out. Okay.
But there's some great information out there. And so, yeah, Facebook's probably the main one. We attend local expos. A couple of the schools have run small expos when they've, you know, to promote services in the area for kids with special needs. So we participate in all those sorts of things. And basically I don't advertise. It's word of mouth within the local community.
Yeah.
Our therapists are known because we've worked in the area for a long time. A number of our therapists are known well by pediatricians and preschools and other referring services.
Yeah, that's the way to go. It can be a little tricky for new guys coming into the team who haven't got that word of mouth kind of history in place. But for the established clinicians, yeah, it works a treat. You still got to manage all of those communications and keep all your referral partners happy. But sounds like you're doing all that good stuff as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when we first started out, the phone calls were all people wanted to see either myself or Chris because we were known. And that's who they were told to contact. But now that's not so much of a problem, and we've got quite a few therapists now who are well known and getting referrals of their own.
Yeah, I remember in my business it got to the point that people didn't even really know, rightly or wrongly, who I was or who the owner was, is more importantly, yep. And that it was kind of that whole complete brand and experience of coming to work with us. And took years of reorienting the team and the referral partners' knowledge of, you know, how awesome everybody else was and much better at things than I was. It took years and years, but eventually got there, and it freed me up to do the management leadership development activities that I got on and did.
Yeah. And I've been very fortunate in the last 12 months to pick up a couple of really experienced therapists. And one of those has taken over a lot of my caseload. And she already had a very solid reputation in the area. Mm. So that really made the transition for me to drop down to 2 days a week of client work.
Yep. Mm. You just nail recruiting. You do that really, really well. What do you think the secret sauce on that one is? Without giving away all your secrets.
Okay. All right. The big tip for me is that everywhere I go, I'm looking. So I take cards, and my children hate it because I bump into people and start talking to them. And, oh, I'm a physio student, so I hand out my cards.
Ooh-hoo.
There you go, Kathy. That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, just about. I like to think that people want to work with us, and that's the sort of environment that I'm trying to create, an environment where I want to work. I've got a pretty wicked sense of humour, so...
hadn't noticed.
We get up to quite a bit of mischief. We do serious work, but we also have a really good sense of humour and a lot of fun. So I think people are starting to want to work for us. And actually, we recruited a new OT for a couple of days a week yesterday, and that was through he had heard some positive vibes about us on the grapevine. So
heard the laughter down the road.
Something like that. Well, yeah, there was lots of laughter last night at our staff meeting, which is pizza night, so it could be.
So feed the team well is another recruitment strategy, a retention strategy.
Yeah, yep, definitely. Crust pizza and our attendance is pretty good.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Crust Pizza.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what we need. So going back to you being an ideas person, Shine House is one thing. But what have you dialed the dreams up to for this year?
Well, I've been busy over the last 12 months, just a little bit. So now we've upped the ante and we're moving towards the Shine Shed, as it's affectionately known.
It's even bigger than a shed, really. We're not talking garden shed here carport.
No, not really, no. It's a 940 square metre warehouse. Yeah,
significant.
So, paint
the picture for us.
Okay. When I built the Shine House, I built a sensory gym in there. And I'm probably the only speech pathologist who does this sort of thing. It's really an OT's domain, but
no, I do shared it with ground
support from our OTs, of course, and utilize their expertise. But yeah, so basically I built a sensory gym, and it was one of the first in the area. And I had all these ideas, but the rooms was not big enough for all my ideas. And then people kept saying to me, oh, we'd love a place where we can come and play. Can we just come in and play? I was like, well, we need this as a therapy space. So that's sort of where the idea developed from. So I've been trying to develop this, I guess, really it started when I started out in private practice and grew from there. So it's been going. So basically the Shine Shed is it's an all abilities play center. So it has a 500 odd square meter sensory gym facility. Although as a warning to everyone, you cannot use the term sensory gym. It is a trademark term.
I didn't know that.
No, you cannot use it.
Who owns it?
The sensory gym which is in Hobartville in Sydney.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yep. Relevant. Cool.
Yeah. So you can't use it. So we don't call it a sensory gym. It's an all abilities play center.
I much prefer that.
Well, you know, I've been training myself not to say sensory gym. So basically the building consists of a 500 square meter play facility, which has been developed by myself and my father, basically. He drew all the drawings and designs and I guess choreographed the manufacturer of all the equipment. So we have a big foam pit with a trapeze. 6 meter long trampoline with a crashing area, climbing walls,
flying fox.
Flying fox, which I must say I really enjoy on a stressful day. It's great stress relief. We have scooter board ramps, swings, and an open area that will have interchanging soft play pieces and so on. So, yeah. So it's geared for, we're trying to make it appropriate for all people with special needs, from young children to teens to young adults that still might require some of those sensory experiences.
This would be a really good point for you to shout out about your Facebook page, where really, really cool updates about the build, which is 90% done, I think.
Yes.
Shout out to your Facebook page so people can actually see the magnitude of what you've done. Terrifying magnitude of what you've done.
It is terrifying. There's been many terrifying days and nights. my Facebook page is Shine Early Intervention. So check us out on Facebook, and I'm constantly updating as things happen. And in the coming weeks, there will be quite a bit more on there. We will be having a specific Facebook page for the Shine Shed. So
in this incredibly stress-free project that the Shed has been, what have you learned? And keep it nice.
Okay, I'll keep it
clean. Actually, not so nice.
I've learned that councils are idiots. I'm trying to behave.
Yeah, I know.
Look, I've learned a lot. It's been a big learning curve, a very expensive one. You need to surround yourself with good people and the right people. And you make a lot of mistakes finding the right ones. But I had a nice moment today when I went to the shed to follow up on some things, and the builder was there, and I looked at it, and then he came out and said, "Oh, this plumber's excellent." And I thought, "Oh, I made two right decisions, the builder and the plumber."
Excellent. Critical to a new build. Critical. You don't want either of those pieces to go wrong.
The other thing that I've learnt is probably don't get into the food service industry when you know nothing about it. So basically the shed has a kiosk, and we're going to have a coffee machine and sell some soft drinks and prepackaged food. So I'm a terrible cook, so there won't be any of that going on there. There'll be no food prep. But the idea behind having the kiosk was that I have a niece who has some learning difficulties, and she's a barista but struggling to get consistent work. Because she has issues with literacy and numbers and so on. And she needs a little bit more support. So she's going to run the kiosk for me. And we're also hoping then to get other young people in.
With different abilities. Yeah.
Yeah, that can work there, have some work experience opportunities, and in a nice, safe, secure, supported environment. But it's come with its own set of problems.
Which bit, the kiosk or the whole thing?
The kiosk, yeah. So, you know, you think, oh, you just whack a kiosk in and put a coffee machine there and start making coffee. But it turned into a whole process of building a bin room, a garbage bin room. And then because on that side of the building where the bin room has to be, there is no plumbing. So it then turned into a $10,000 project to get the dirty water from the floor waste.
Deep breath.
To get the dirty water from the floor waste over a 9 meter high roller door to the other side of the building, which is about 25 meters away. So that's been this week's project.
Good to hear.
Yeah. So lots of hidden surprises. Yeah. And lots of learning along the way.
What have you learned about yourself in that process though?
I think I'm pretty tenacious and I haven't given up.
Yeah, you have.
I haven't given up, but I've been very lucky. My dad has been inspirational in it all.
Yeah.
And when it turns to crap, he's stood up and said, come on, you've got to keep going with this. You can't stop now. So, yeah. So I've been, you know, very lucky in that. But I think, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I've kept going. And I think that that's, I've certainly shown that in the last 6 months.
Yeah, my observation has been you tenacity is the big word, but solution focused.
Yeah.
Solutionist on it.
Well, at the end of the day, there are all these rules you have to abide by, and we just have to find answers for them. So, to be compliant.
Work around. Yep. What do you anticipate the Shine Shed will deliver and provide your customers?
Okay. Well, I guess a sense of community and an opportunity for families who may not be able to go out and enjoy other activities in the community because they have children with behaviour issues or physical limitations, so on. So we want to create an environment where people feel safe, where they can come, where they can have opportunities for social engagement, both from a parent perspective and especially from a child perspective or a young adult's perspective. We want to provide some opportunities for people, young people, to be independent, so to come in to the centre with some support, but without parents, so they can have those social opportunities, but with a degree of independence and support. We're also looking to provide opportunities for accessing social skills groups, so more organised activities, also fitness classes and dance and music, so on. So a whole range of activities. There's many people we found have got funding that they can't actually use for the things they want because there are no services.
Yeah. Hmm. That'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
How is the Shine Shed going to be used for delivering therapy?
For therapy, our primary therapy space will still be in our Lamia offices.
Shine House?
Shine House, yes.
Okay.
Yep, so it will still be our primary therapy area. The shed will be used for more, I guess, for some older children. So as many guests have from our name, Shine Early Intervention, we have really focused on 0 to 7-year-olds because that's our area of expertise. Mm. But many of those children are now older than 7 and still requiring services, and there's not enough therapists in the market, and I bought a whole stack of big chairs.
Oh, good.
So we're hoping that the therapy rooms there will be utilized by some of our bigger kids and that we can offer more services to older children and young adolescents.
So there are some therapy rooms in the Shine Shed.
There are. We have
very cool and
We have a large group room. We have a sensory room, which actually will have fiber optics and bubble columns and so on. Nice, quiet space, relaxing space. There's a music therapy room, which is soundproof. And so we'll be doing a lot more in that space for music therapy because we're finding that's something that is really beneficial for many of our kids. And we have 2 additional rooms for therapy.
Wow. How do you think your beautiful therapists are going to respond to this new environment?
Well, they've already organised a staff Christmas party on all the equipment.
What could go wrong?
Well, you know, they're all going to sign a disclaimer. they're all very keen to get involved. They haven't had a whole lot to do with the building process. Everyone's asking, can I paint? Can I this? Mm-hmm. I said, I need you to focus on your job at the moment. They're all focusing on their work, but we've been throwing ideas around. People have got ideas for things that they'd like to try. They're all keen to get involved.
You're on the countdown to open day. When is that looking like?
October.
Beautiful. This year. Mighty huge effort.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen before November, I'll scream. But yeah. No, it's
your dad will make it happen.
He will. Yep. Yep, we will definitely make it happen. We're looking at, I think the construction of the rooms and everything will be finished late September. And then we really just need, the play equipment's all done. That's pretty much all done. It'll just need a tidy up after the construction around it.
Yep.
And flooring to go down. And so we should be looking at October. I'm hoping by mid-October the latest.
Wow.
Hmm.
Party?
Yes.
Good.
I like that.
Yeah. Yep. Well deserved. Yep. So with trepidation, I'm going to ask the question, what happens across next year? How does the Shine Shed kind of earn its keep and settle in and become part of the landscape?
That's the million-dollar question.
So I'm asking it. It's my job.
Yeah, no, we, for next year, we have plans to implement groups, have schools involved, get everything up and running. I'm looking, I think the big issue is recruitment of staff. So we need more therapy staff. I'm also looking at developing our own staff and potential workforce through engaging the services of university students. So whether it be speech, occupational therapy, music therapy, psychologists, you know, anything that's relevant, basically, and developing those into potential future staff team members, because they can work on the floor with children in the gym, you know, help with birthday parties, because we'll be doing that as well. And yeah, so
step away from the birthday cake.
And, you know, so we hope to be able to use the facility, the play facility, to develop our future staff.
Nice. Good move. Yep, yep. Good model.
So that's sort of the big thing. The big thing for me is to get recruitment happening, groups, regular groups running. So every day, a group of some sort, and to consolidate all that.
Very, very nice. And are there whopping big dreams sitting post shed?
Well, I plan to have probably 58 across the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
Cool.
Yep.
By when?
2020. No, I think it would be great to have all over the place, but whether I go that far, I have to survive this experience first.
And get it right and get it humming along and creating joy and awesome for everyone.
Yeah. And then maybe look at to the future, expanding with some other centres in areas if there's demand for it, which I believe they will be.
Yep.
We've had a lot of interest through Facebook and so on. We've had schools calling to look at booking in. There's a lot of interest. So hopefully... we can build on that in the future.
So by way of managing this beast and leading your team, how much clinical work do you do versus how much management and business development work do you do?
2 days a week of clinical
and
the rest is management.
Yep, and development work.
Yep. I do a lot of painting.
A lot of painting, okay. Yeah, and does that fall under clinical or under management?
Under management.
Yep.
I have a very diverse role. I had to, one of the girls drove her car off the edge of the concrete and it was on an angle. So I had to come over to the office and get that out the other day.
Okay. So tow truck services and now
all sorts of
your business
things.
Card. Yep.
I'm a very...
painter, decorator.
I'm a very odd speech pathologist, put it that way.
Diverse skill set.
Yeah.
What else would you love speech pathology business owners to think about?
Specifically speech pathology?
No, let's just broaden it out to allied health business owners. What words of wisdom do you want to share?
Oh. That's a tough one, Kathy.
Good.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's lots of opportunity out there, and people have a lot of ideas for amazing things that they'd like to do and then don't follow through with them. And I think the thing that I've learned in the last 5 years, after having worked for not-for-profit and government in the past, you know, I had all these ideas and nothing ever went anywhere. But as a small business owner, you have the opportunity to do it. So follow your dreams and push as hard as you can. Bite off more than you can chew and yep. chew really hard.
Yep. Yep. And close your eyes and talk to yep. your accountant and just keep going.
Don't talk to them too much.
Just ask them the questions that you already know the answers to.
That's it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I am just in awe of what you've got done this year, and I know how hard you've worked. So I will, for one, be following these Facebook posts over the next few weeks. You are so, so close. I can't wait to see it. See you cutting the ribbon.
I'm getting excited. After being there today, I'm quite excited. Probably not so excited about tomorrow's task, which is sanding walls, but yeah.
All part of the manager skill set. Not so much the speechy skill set, but definitely the manager skill set.
It's actually quite good for my fitness. So, yeah. But no, it's really, really exciting. I think it's going to be great. So I hope it's going to be great.
It will be great. It will be great. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your adventure to date. It would be really amazing to have you back next year, 6-9 months post Shine Shed, to share up what it's delivering.
Yeah, well, if I'm not in a mental institute, Kathy, I'll be happy to come back.
Well, I'll know where to find you. I'll know where to look.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. See ya. Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.